No, it's kind of hard. Those things are kind of hard to tell, especially, you know, people are looking for someone to dump the other one, which doesn't happen very often. It's really just about who drives the other one. Those guys kind of went back and forth. It's really a tough drill for me to kind of tell what's going on. It's just a toughness thing. So
I love that idea. I've always loved the Tennessee drill, which is a precursor to the Oklahoma drill under Bud Wilkinson.
It's hard to find a winner when you
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, it's just
unless someone gets dumped.
It's good for team morale. The kids like it. Fans like it. Nobody's going to get hurt. It's not a real collision thing. It's almost like a wrestling kind of thing, and it's a leverage thing, and it's a teaching tool, no doubt. And they don't want these guys to get get torqued, as we heard earlier in the week. We'll go back to our phones. All lines are currently jammed. Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. I'm here as long as you are. You've got that vow for me tonight. A garden variety workout for the Vols tonight, but there is no doubt that this program has taken a giant, and I mean giant, step forward since the last time you saw them. Christian, there is no doubt, if nobody has, for the folks that have not tuned in since the bowl game of 8 months ago till now, when that ball kicks off 8.5 months later, can it not be said that that program has greatly improved?
I think so. Just from a pure talent standpoint, and obviously the guys who did return, and there are a lot of returnees. They're not a very young team. I mean, they do have a lot of young players, but they're one of the most experienced teams in the country, and those guys who are returning are obviously had another year in the program. They've been around each other. They've improved. So I think with the combination of that and a number four, whatever it was, recruiting class coming in, I don't think there's any doubt that they've taken a pretty large step forward.
Back to the phones we go. And let's get our next call in. We'll take them as we get them. Nobody's screened. So as you call in, you'll be hooked into the line. The number is 865-200-5402. And our next call, hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Yes.
Hey, it's Hank Williams the Fourth.
Hey, Hank Four, I've always appreciated you and love your work, man.
Thank you, sir. And the feeling's mutual. I want to start with saying thank you so much for being on the air tonight. I know myself and several members of my family are listening in multiple states, so thank you for your effort.
Thank you.
Yeah, hey, any truth to the rumor the Playboy tattoo guy was Philadelphia?
I would love for him to be from Philadelphia. If he would have had a Phillies cap on, I would have gone down and taken a picture with him for sure. I don't know, though.
No, I meant the mayor. Philly.
Oh, you mean Phil? No, he wasn't Philly. I know what Philly looks like. And no, it was not Philly. The guy had a certain kind of look about him that said, if you don't quit looking at...
He was a friend of Philly's.
No, he had a certain look that said to me, if you keep staring at my tattoo, I'm getting ready to whip your ass. That's what he said, kind of said to me.
Interesting. Hey, I will tell you, as I'm listening to you, I'm sitting here watching my Bucks play your Metropolitans, and Cespedes just probably made one of the best throws you'll ever see. He gunned a guy who was stretching a double into a triple. He was rounding second before Cespedes even got the ball, and he threw him out from the warning track in center field.
He is quite a talent, isn't he? He's an arm talent. He's a five-tool player, man.
Unbelievable. Hey, interesting about that cheer. I figured your generation, the older generation, would appreciate that clap.
And you know what I would say to that? I resemble that remark because I've had some needles in that general vicinity of my anatomy.
Huh. Hey,
interesting.
Tony, now, as we get older, there's just nothing like this time of the year, and you appreciate it for so many things.
Yep.
You know, as UT fans, it's been a long time. I know we're all excited. I don't have a lot to say to that, but I do have an idea. You keep developing these great inside sources like X and Orange Throat, and obviously you're going to continue to develop more of them. And so I've got a suggestion. Maybe part of tonight's show is you have people call in with suggestions on the name of your next inside source.
No, that has to happen organically.
Does it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tony, it's a great
thank
show.
You, thanks, brother,
for being on. I'm gonna sit here and listen.
Thank you. It's got to happen organically. You know, Orange Throat told me. He said I'm Orange Throat, and Vol Colonel said I'm Vol Colonel. And you know what I mean, Blondie? That kind of thing just has to happen organically.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't know much. I don't have any named inside sources. I rely on you for that.
If I didn't know any differently, though, I would think that guy took a few shots at me. But, of course, I kind of like that. I can take it. But Hank,
just like Butch Jones said when he got at the end of his introductory press conference, I have thick skin, so you can criticize me all you want.
And he meant that, too.
Yes.
Psych. Let's go back to our phones, and let's get our next call in. I'll tell you what he does have is tremendous energy. He is on the energy bus. He's driving that darn thing.
No doubt. He has never-ending seemingly energy.
And where does he get it? Where do these guys get that stuff? I mean, I went and walked this morning. I went and walked 6 miles, okay? Treadmill. And then came home and played some guitar for a couple hours. I was fried this afternoon. Where do those guys get that energy? And man, Butch Jones was wearing it out tonight. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, it's BK from Nashville, and I'm so thankful for the Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic application because it gets me closer to the volunteers.
Oh, thank you, man, and I'm glad you're there. We're glad you're there tonight.
Hey, Tony, I'm calling with a heavy heart tonight because I deposited my son today at the University of Tennessee, and he is a incoming freshman, and I was in the middle of all that mass of humanity today.
What was that experience like? That's something I'm not looking forward to, dropping my kid off of college. I would imagine that's very emotional.
Tony, I can tell you it's the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life because here's the deal. You raise your children, you worry about their, health, all their education, are they doing anything right? And then all of a sudden you kind of kick them out the curb at Cherry Hall and you drive off. So it's gut-wrenching.
No, I can hear the emotion in your voice, and I greatly appreciate that because I'm a couple of years away from that, but that's something in the back of my mind that I don't think I'm looking forward to.
It's gut-wrenching. And his little brother, when he got in the car, he goes, "Dad, that's awful for me. I can't imagine being a father and driving off like this." I'm going, "Well, shit, it's all..." It's awful.
No, it's true, you know, and it's and like, you know, you let a little swear word slip out there, but it's okay, you're among family tonight. I tell you, it is because you just it's weird. It's hard to describe. I remember it. I remember that distinctly. Here I am, a kid from Pennsylvania, and I had a year at Penn State, and my dad and my brother drove me down here. And I remember when they left me, I sat in that room in Hess Hall, and man, I didn't know a soul here, okay? And it may be very nostalgic today because we drove by Hess Hall. And I sat in that room, and man, I cried my eyes out. That was 1987.
Yeah.
I cried and cried, and I thought, what have I done? I've made a mistake. I'm not ready for this. But, man, take heart, because it's going to the University of Tennessee was the best thing I ever did. I can honestly tell you that it changed my life.
Well, it's you know, I'm excited for him and I'm happy for him, and it's, you know, it's the greatest moment, you know. But boy, driving off, you're just like, oh, what could I have done better? What could I, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, sure. But I'll tell you this, Pops. I'll tell you this. He's in great hands over there. If you ever needs anything, you tell him to call Uncle Tony. We're close here, and
I assure you, I will.
I'm telling you. You tell that young man, and if he's interested in getting in this business, you can tell Christian. I'm as good at slave labor and low wage labor as anybody. So,
he's a slave laborer. So that's
well, there we have it. So go ahead. Now I want to know your vibe from being on campus today, somebody that's attuned to the sports thing. Can you feel how it's coming back?
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Please.
I'm sure that the copper cellar is a sponsor.
They are absolutely a sponsor.
And I knew that. Of course, his grandmother called him the Copper Keller Kettle, but whatever. But anyway, we're sitting in there. We're having cheeseburgers, great cheeseburgers. And all of a sudden, people start funneling in, you know, right there on Kingston or on Cumberland Avenue. And they're funneling in, they're funneling in. And he goes, what's going on, Dad? And I go, practice is going on, son. Practice is going on. That these people are coming down to watch practice. He goes, yeah, no, it's all the people moving in. I go, no, they're coming down to watch practice, son. This is how passionate people are about the University of Tennessee football. And he goes, it didn't even register with him.
Practice.
Yeah.
Crazy.
What, 30,000? We're debating about 30,000, 50,000 for practice?
Crazy. Crazy. These, and I'll tell you something. I put on Twitter tonight with a picture under it. It's love, and that's what it is. You just got to see it to understand it. There are very few places where the relationship between the fans and the team are like this. And I'm jealous, or not jealous, but I feel sorry for people who do what I do and don't get to do it in places where people care. I've got a friend that works in Nashville, or not Nashville, but Atlanta in radio. And man, what a suck sports town that would be to do sports radio in. No offense to those people, but they don't give a damn. Nobody cares about anything there.
Right. You know, he asked me, should I go put on an orange jersey? And I go, well, you don't want to look like a newbie, right? I mean, you're just checking in, so don't, you know, you're being rushed and all that stuff. I go, don't be a newbie, but I can tell you, when he saw those people at the Copper Cellar, he is gaga about the University of Tennessee.
Well, he's in. You tell that young man that we love him. I'll do anything for him, any of the newcomers. And I hope you have a great night, man. Great talking to you.
Thanks, CB. Take care, bud.
He shared part of his emotional day with us. That's a tough deal, Christian. I'll tell you that. When you raise a child one day and you drop them off at school, you'll be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a little easier for me, or for my mom, I guess, since I'm just 20 minutes away, but I can definitely understand it for someone who's kind of, even for Nashville, that's absolutely.
It's 3 hours away, man.
That's what I'm saying.
So, you can't skip and jump.
If I never need anything, I could always just go home to get even a meal or get something if I forgot something, anything like that. So it wasn't too big of a deal for me, but I can definitely imagine how tough it would be if you're 3 hours plus away.
I called my dad and I said, Dad, I think I made a mistake. You know what he told me? I paid for it. You're staying there. There wasn't a lot of sympathy. Let's go back to the phones, Gary. Next call in, 865-200-5402. And to quote Brian Lewis tonight on Twitter, we talking about practice, and that's exactly what we talking about as we go back to our phones tonight here on your Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee. Fifth quarter fan reaction, an opportunity for you if you went tonight and you have a thought, if you didn't go and you have a question, anything that's on the table. If you just want to celebrate the fact that we're alive at this point in time and just want to give a holla up in here, hey, we're here for you. It's a Saturday night. We're working late. What can I say? Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome.
Tony, what's going on? It's Dustin.
Hey, D.
Man, Christian, actually, I want to come out of the gate and ask you a question. Is the offensive line that suspect, or is the defensive line, upcoming defensive line, are they that good? Because I think it's somewhere in between.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's a little bit of both. I think the defensive line is really good. I'd say it's probably the best defensive line that I've seen, obviously the best defensive line we've seen in 10 years or so here. I think it's one of the best 10 units in the country pretty easily, probably maybe even better than that, depending on how some of these young guys come along. But the offensive line has not been at its best throughout camp so far. you've had some injuries tonight. Jack Jones and Brett Kendrick didn't practice. So you had some guys, Dylan Wiseman, Charles Mosley, kind of got some work at the ones. Jason Robertson didn't get a lot of work tonight. So the guards, especially tonight, were kind of guys who you probably won't see a lot of this year as Robertson, Jones and Kendrick are your top three guards. But I do think, it's a little suspect. The tackles, have kind of struggled a little bit throughout camp. Kirbison's gotten better, I think, than he was last year. I don't know how worried you should be about that, but I do think, as a whole, I think there's concerns, really throughout the unit, especially when you include health, in there, as they've been kind of dinged up. But I think you should be worried about the offensive line, especially when they face some of the better defensive lines in the SEC and Oklahoma, those kind of teams. But the defensive line, I do think, is as advertised. So, as excited as you should be about the defensive line, I think you should also be a little worried about the offensive line.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be the question mark there. But, transitioning over to the quarterback, has Dormady came on, is he just really that much better for an incoming freshman, or is, what's going on there? Cause this kid, his system in high school was not what he's in now. Is he just that quick of a study, or what's up with Dormady? How is he this good this early?
I think, you know, his dad was his high school coach. They ran a lot of this stuff last year because he committed to Tennessee last summer early. So they installed a lot of Tennessee stuff in their high school offense. He had some pretty bad high school receivers, so his numbers maybe weren't as good as you'd think. But just from a polish standpoint, his dad's a coach. He went to all the camps, did all that kind of stuff. So he's a guy who is kind of picked up on things very quickly. He takes the game really seriously from everyone I've talked to. Really, really works hard at improving, especially as a passer. Like you said, he maybe isn't as natural a fit in the offense as a Teron Jones or obviously Josh Dobbs, but I think just from a pure arm talent standpoint, and then plus all the things, he's kind of been raised as a quarterback. He's one of those kids who that's all he's done his whole life is play quarterback. So I think that's kind of helped. But I think he's not your normal, you know, guy who's just coming in as a gunslinger, trying to learn the position. He's kind of been bred for this. So I think that's been the main thing that's kind of let him be such a quick study.
Outstanding. Yeah, of course, as over, I got to sit with Tony and Russell and all those guys. And what do you younger guys think about that Rocky Top chant? I know you're in the mix in the hunt, if you will.
I was not a fan at all of the Rocky Top thing. Like I said, I was fine with the third down for what. That was obviously it was a hit with the other students last year. I didn't mind it at all. I think maybe it could get stale this year. I don't know. We'll have to see. But this thing tonight, that thing is rough, I think. I don't think there's any way this thing will catch on. The clapping, it just puts a cherry on top of just how awful it is.
Dustin, what'd you think of it?
I really enjoyed it. I got to hang out with you guys as a plus, but I don't know, man. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's kind of hard to get really, you know, tuned in to watch one thing with so much stuff going on.
I mean the chant. You asked about the chant.
Oh, yeah, that was awful. That was one of the worst things he's done in a while. That was garbage. I know a lot of the kids were making fun and laughing on it. You got the younger generation doing it, so it's just a matter of time for that goes to the Dooley's orange pants, but I don't know. It's a lot of fun. There's no way there's 30,000 people over there. I'm saying 15, at the most 20. I got a couple good pictures of your boy, Tony. I'm definitely going to forward those on to you. But, yeah, got a chance to talk to him before we were walking up. He definitely had a few Jack and, I don't know, it wasn't Jack and Kobe.
Got a picture of the guy with the tattoo on his breast?
Yeah.
I want to see that. Send them on, brother. I'm putting that on Twitter. We're going to immortalize him tonight.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. He's a... it's fun, but I'm taking up too much time. Guys, appreciate it as always.
See you, brother. Take
care.
865-200-5402. Eric Grubb wants us to give a rundown on how practice went, who looked good or not. I'll do that here in a second. Ryan Huffman, who's joining us tonight on Twitter, said they attended the practice all the way from Calhoun, Georgia, which, if I'm not mistaken, Calhoun, Georgia is a good couple hours away. So that's great, Ryan.
Home of the great Derek Rogers.
There you go. The great Derek Rogers.
2.5 hours away.
Julie Mack said, Tony, it's beautiful. That man just witnessed his son being christened a Vol. Rob at the Real Hubber said, who let the Vols out to the tune of the Baja Men might have been the worst thing that's ever happened in Neyland Stadium. Do you remember who let the Vols out?
I remember who let the dogs out, but I do not remember them coming out to that song.
Yeah, I've selectively, I don't know, I've blocked that out of my...
When was that? I guess around the time that song was popular?
Let's see.
What was that, around early
2000? 2000, maybe? 2000, 2001?
I can't imagine how bad that would be.
Who let the Vols out?
Oh, no. This Thing Tonight, that's not as bad as that, but that This Thing Tonight, it goes on all season, they insist on doing it, I think it could reach pretty bad levels.
Somebody needs to get to Butch Jones and go, hey, the young people in there were laughing at you. Like, that's laughing
they
with you. People around me were hee-haw laughing at it.
The people, those players, I was right next to the players, obviously down the field, and some media members were next to me also on the other side. And everyone was either shaking their head or just laughing. No one thought that was, I don't know who thought that was a good idea, but the players were laughing at it, the media members were shaking their head. It was...
Let's go back to our phones. By the way, we will discuss a couple things from the practice. If you want to get in tonight, 865-200-5402, we're going on 90 minutes in. Glad there's not any interest in the football program. I sure am glad that that's the case. Patrick Dotson says, you guys need to discuss the fact that Dormandy isn't a dual-threat quarterback, and for this offense to work, Dormandy has to be able to run. I don't know that he's not a... I don't think he's a terrible...
I mean, he's not a true dual-threat. But
he's not a terrible athlete, though.
No. He can move if he needs to. I think he's a much better athlete than... I really like Justin Orley. Played golf with him a little bit this summer, but I don't mean to put him down, but I think he's a better athlete than Justin Orley, a lot better. I think he is a guy who you can definitely put back there, let him pass it, and if he gets in trouble, he's not going to embarrass himself having to get out of the pocket.
What kind of golfer is Justin Orley?
Very good. Hits the ball very far.
Yeah, I was thinking he probably was a pretty good golfer. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402, 57 past the hour. Yeah, we'll go through some of the stuff that we saw, Eric, for you here in a little bit. For anybody else just tuning in, I just think it was kind of a garden variety night. It's more like a celebration of Tennessee football than anything. I encourage them to continue to do it and you know, use it as sort of a test market for the players and also to, you know what I didn't see tonight? Punters.
What?
I didn't see any punters.
They went out there late in the practice.
Oh, so because I had to get back to do this. I left with probably 10 or so to go.
Yeah. It was very late. I was watching because I figured you have to get back to the studio.
So how'd the punters look?
I thought Trevor Daniel and Tommy Townsend kind of separated themselves from the Renfro kid that transferred from Maryland. I think those two kids looked a lot better than Renfro did tonight. Both of them had some very nice punts.
Things just don't go according to form sometimes, do they? Renfro just hasn't been comfortable in camp, has he?
No, I actually watched one of his games. I watched a little bit of one of his games the other night on Big Ten Network. I mean, that's kind of sad. That tells you a little bit about me, but I did see, saw him punt a little bit in a Maryland game last year. Went back and watched him, and he didn't have his best game that day either, so I haven't seen his best, I guess. But I do think Townsend and Daniel were the two guys who kind of stood out tonight as hitting some really good punts and getting the ball off quick. But Jones talks about operation time being 1.8 seconds or less, and they're meeting that. So I think those two guys are kind of the guys who I'd look to compete for that job.
Operation time, new term. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. We'll get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony B.
Yes.
All right, I wasn't sure if that was me or not. Carter here. Good talk.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing great, brother. I rarely ever would I suggest that you be more like the sports animal, but I kind of concur with your request that from earlier for us late tuners in to kind of every now and then get a little, maybe even take a little. Record a little bit and take a little pee break or something and give us an update on sort of what really went on tonight. And one of the things I was wondering about, y'all just mentioned the kickers, was wondering how that went. And what do you think, Tony, about getting away from the standard traditional kick at 4.3 seconds versus the rugby kicker?
I think that's interesting. You know, that's a move afoot that a lot of guys have gone to. Instead of just having the guy stand back there and do what you're doing, the rugby kickers specialize in, first of all, they roll out. They specialize in placement. We're not so much worried about hang time. You know, the thing about the rugby deal is, that I wonder about is, why don't those guys get more kicks blocked? I mean, you throw yourself out there. That looks like a dangerous proposition. But it does seem to work. That standard guy, though, with the booming leg, Carter, is such a weapon in today's game when you can flip a field. Now, when you have a guy like that, Christian, based on what you've seen, do we have anything near that right now on that campus in terms of somebody that can stand back there and flip fields?
I think Townsend could be that guy, Tony. Tonight we saw him, I think he had a 61-yard punt that he really got a hold of, was very high, no chance at a return if it had been the game. Right now, though, he's very inconsistent, but I think maybe as the season progresses, if he's the guy, I think you could see him kind of turn into a weapon. Maybe not this year, but I think he's definitely a guy who has all the physical tools to be one of those guys who could flip the field at any time for you.
And Carter, the other thing on the kicking game as well is, Butch Jones has really challenged Aaron Medley, who is a nice kicker, to increase his range. I want to see you make some long kicks. He had a 55-yarder tonight. Good for him.
The way they talked in the paper this morning, banging them from 60-plus, if you really asked it.
Yeah, and he was cited tonight for doing that in front of the crowd, which is important for them to be able to duplicate that. It's one thing to do it.
Did they have a line out there, actually, or was it that BS crap that they do in spring practice with a snapper and a kicker, and that was it? Or did they actually
they
put
did
a
not,
defensive line?
They did not have a live defensive line.
You know, you got to get the ball up over a line. It's a whole lot different.
I'm with Carter. I'm gonna have to say that I'm with Carter there, 100%.
Yeah, I don't understand that. That's to me. Put a line up. Put some pressure out there. Let the kid really see what he can do with somebody coming after him. I don't get that. So the only thing I'd say about the punters, Tony, and that rugby style. Have you ever seen a rugby style kick returned? I mean, significantly returned.
No.
That's what I was going to say too. That really mitigates the opportunity to return it. You never see anybody break a big return off those things.
No, because it's a placement kick. Plus, it's going to bounce a couple times. The whole concept of that is, I'm going to roll out. It's going to look ugly as hell.
And you might throw it.
And I might throw it.
That's why you don't see him block. That's why you don't see him block, because no one can try to go after him, because they have to keep the safe on in case he runs it or throws it.
I'm shocked that the NFL, have you seen anybody in the NFL go to that?
I think those guys are too fast. Now, I think if you roll a guy out in the NFL, it's the same reason you don't see option quarterbacks and that. I mean, you see some teams do it a little bit, but it'd be hard to keep a guy healthy, because in the NFL, you'd get killed if you did that, I think.
Well, that's what they said about the quarterback.
But these guys do get hurt, though. Those guys that, the RG3s of the world, they're fun to watch. But if you look at the NFL teams, the teams that win are still the teams that play, for the most part, conventional football with the quarterback.
I guess so. Hey, Tony, I got a list of things here I still need to hit. Well, explain to us that came in late, what is the stupid cheer? I can only imagine how bad it is.
Did they
even attempt the Maxims thing tonight?
No Maxims. But let's describe the chant. So Butch Jones, probably 60% into the practice, stops the music. And you know when the music stops, when Butch Jones is out there, that you're getting ready to get something that is like from on high, okay? And he says, last year, right here, we debuted third down for what? We got a new chant this year. When we make a first down, and this was right before they broke up offense, defense, so they were going to start making first downs. So he was getting ready to train our woolly ones. And he said, right now, we're going to begin right here. When we make a first down and that announcer says first down Tennessee, one half of this crowd will chant Rocky. Rocky. The other half will chant top. And clap, clap.
Three times.
Three claps after Rocky Top. So it could, the crowds go Rocky Top and then Carter, literally, I wanted to hide myself under my chair. It was so embarrassing. How bad that is.
OMG. That's brutal.
But I'll say this for Butch Jones though. The guy is a bastion of energy. He's tremendous at what he does. He has been
Does he think we're in Memphis? This is not Memphis.
That was my point. When I came on, I said, I would like somebody to tell Butch Jones, give him a little math lesson. I know this is team 119. By my count, he's been here for three of them. There was 117 years of football. And we made it pretty well here without that nonsense. And that's nonsense. And I'm just speaking plain English.
That is
nonsense. That is high school, cheesy nonsense. And it doesn't belong over there. But people are going to do it because the sheep were eating out of his hand. And good for the people. That's fine. Go have fun. I'm not going to say, you know, whether you can do it or not or should do it or not. It's just really hokey. And it's just really going to make us a laughing stock.
What was the format over there tonight? What went down?
Practice. It was a practice without hitting. It was a light, easy type workout, garden variety practice. Some team periods. We got to see some plays from scrimmage, but not many. Nobody got hit. Nobody hit. But it was still, you could tell that these guys, there's just a lot of physical talent there. The brighter days are ahead. It's going to be a lot of fun this year, Carter.
Well, that's a good deal. Speaking of that attendance over there, Tony, you heard you saying 30, UT's announcing 40, Christian, I think you're saying 25.
Yeah, 20, 25.
Was there anybody in the upper deck at all?
No, right below where the press box is on the money side, what I call the money side.
Tennessee Terrace.
There were a few people up there.
Well, yeah, my bottom line is this, Tony. I mean, let's just say you got 50 up, 50 below, and that's ballparkish, obviously. You have to cram people in there, elbow to elbow, nose to nose, to put 50,000 in that lower deck. I wasn't over there, but I'm going to bet you or guarantee. Well, I'm going to bet you there wasn't 20,000 people over there. I mean, it takes a lot of people coming from a lot of places to put 100,000 people in that place.
You better freaking believe it. That's why, see, some people were expecting 45, 50,000 for this thing. And I don't know what I was expecting. But you know what, Carter, I'll say this. I think it was around 30. And whether it's just 20.
That's one out of every three seats in that stadium.
Yeah, that's a hell of a crowd. That is a great crowd for a practice.
I don't think there's 30,000 in there.
Okay, if there's 20,000, that's a great crowd.
That's a great crowd.
Great crowd for a practice.
There's 20,000. I'm just saying it's ridiculous to say that there was 40,000. I mean, that's just absurd.
They're not alone. NFL franchises do it. They're not alone.
I guess.
Colleges do it. Everybody inflates those numbers. And you know what it is? It comes down to recruiting, and they had several five-star kids on that campus today. And you know what they're going to tell them? We had 40,000 people that came and watched a practice where we didn't even hit. We had 40, and you know what those kids aren't going to know? They're not going to know any different, because those kids have never seen that many people at a football practice. I can promise you that.
I guess. Well, last thing, Tony, I do appreciate your show, and I was just in the last couple of weeks, I've spent time up in Columbus, Ohio, and Pittsburgh, and Minnesota, and, you know, it's amazing that the level of interest in sports talk down in the South versus up there. It's non-existent. It just absolutely. Columbus, Ohio, home of the national champions, and you can't find a freaking sports radio show up there on college sports in late July, first of August. Blew my mind.
That's really surprising.
Nothing.
That's surprising.
Believe me, I cruise the dials looking for it, and it just does not exist. You can go up here and hear about Cincinnati Reds all you want. Maybe a little bit about the Bengals or something like that, but it just doesn't exist.
Mm.
Unless it's on the internet somewhere. But so we appreciate you, Tony.
Thanks Carter. Buddy. All right, let's go through some of the particulars here, Christian, and wrap this thing up as it's time for me to about jump out of here, as I've given a good 90 or so minutes, which is great. On your Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic, fifth quarter, fan reaction. I'd say we're going to have us a wonderful time this football season. First of all, tonight's star of the camp was, in my opinion, just the general overview that the fans saw, that this team is bigger, they are faster, they are stronger, they're going to be much better. Several freshmen, meet the eye test. Several guys jumped off the page at me tonight. And even a Jack Jones who's injured, just looking at him, dinged up. Even a Jack Jones jumps off the page at me as somebody who looks like, if need be, he could play tomorrow. So many guys looked good. And X wants me, he was in the stadium tonight, he said, get a vote in for Vincent Perry, guys, too, who had a nice night, which is... Go ahead.
He's been kind of overlooking camp. Haven't heard much about him, but he's been quietly solid throughout camp.
I thought those new running backs looked good.
Joe Young had a nice.
You better believe it. Joe Young's got some quicks, man.
It's hard to tell much when as soon as they get a finger blade on them, they blow it. But
that's true.
You could see some moves and things like that, but. I agree with that, too. The running backs had a solid night.
You know what that looks like when they don't let the guys hit and they just let them tap or tag? It looks like, well, not bad. It looks like South Sinceri's defense. Let's, guys that pass the eye test, Christian, of the young kids. And when I say eye test, I mean you look at them and you go, you could play tomorrow just looking at them. I'll go through a couple. Daryl Taylor. Kyle Phillips, there's just no doubt looking at those guys. You could play tomorrow. Shy Tuttle, you could play tomorrow. Kirkland, you could play tomorrow. We talked earlier tonight about, obviously McKenzie could, I don't know, he could play in another planet tomorrow with his size. We talked earlier tonight about Jennings. I think Jennings could play tomorrow if need be.
Oh, yeah.
If need be, and be effective.
He was running with the ones tonight.
He deserves to be running. Christian, looking at him, does he deserve to be running with the ones? The camp he's had.
He's been running with the ones since about the second practice.
He's.
I think he might be the best receiver out there right now.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Some guys dinged up.
What is that? What does that say? I mean, I'm not trying to be. It says to me. He is damn good, okay?
Yeah.
But the other thing it says is there have been some guys who have been in that program that have not developed to this point. When you make a statement like that, nobody laughs at you.
Well, obviously, there's some guys who have not been going full speed.
Right.
But I do agree they've signed some very high-talent receivers over the past couple of years who maybe are still
finding it.
Trying to find themselves.
Yeah, and that's fine. Hey, guys develop at different rates, at different paces, and it is what it is, but you got to take the best and throw them out there. You owe it to the team that works out every day. You owe it to the fans. You owe it to the school. You owe it to everybody involved. You get your best players on the field. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just listed 9-10 guys, I think, that passed the eye test. Who else to you of the young guys pass what we call the eye test?
The quarterbacks.
No doubt. Great answer. Both of them. Jones and Dormandy pass the eye test.
I think Jones is going to be very good, too. He's always always kind of trailing along Josh Dobbs, trying to soak up everything he can from what they're together all the time. So I think he's a guy you have to point to. But physically, Dormady just does not look like a freshman, just like some of those guys you talked about defensively. It's a different kind of develop. But just looking at him, watching him, you know, kind of move around out there, you wouldn't think he's a freshman if you didn't know any better.
It's going to be really, really fun to tee this up. And I want to thank everybody that's joined us. I want to thank our friends at Smartway and Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. Back for another year of tremendous activity, bringing this to you. I want you to spread the word, if you can. Tell a friend. I'm going to put this show up tonight immediately on the archives. Christian, I mean this. I wrote this earlier in the week. Your father was a guy that I always thought the world of, always, and in fact was so great to me early in my career, was so encouraging toward me when I was a kid and just getting started in this in the early 90s, and would come on my show and would tease me and would say to me, "You're the mouthpiece," in that accent of his. And he was just so, he just had that deadpan sense of humor, and he was just so classic. It has been such a joy to get to know you and to watch you develop and to listen to what you're doing. And man, it is just, it's just been a real blessing getting to do this with you. And you've added so much to the program over the last couple of weeks with your terrific coverage, and I hope you'll be a part of what we're doing here going forward. It's it matters to me, man. I want you to know that.
I definitely want to be, Tony, especially. I'll do as much as I can. Like I said, class is starting this week. It'll be tough to do as much.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to.
But,
yeah.
But I'll try to be here, try to call in as much as I can.
Okay.
Help you out as much as you need anything.
What I want you to know is the door's open, and I really do appreciate your contribution, just like I appreciate Sean Sinclair, Dr. Sinclair, who called in earlier, who's just so joyful and just loves this stuff so much, and Orange Throat and X, who I know was there tonight. I had a chance to stop by and visit with him for half a second. I also know that Vol Colonel had some family duties, and but I really appreciate his contributions. All of our listeners who've just spread the word for us as this thing has spread like wildfire, all the people listening to us tonight, wherever you are, I want you to know this, okay? You've got choices, and you chose to spend a part of your Saturday with us, and I'm indebted. I'm indebted to you. And when I walk by that, I'm going to get a little emotional here, okay? But when I went by Hess Hall tonight, I got tears in my eyes right now. When I went by Hess Hall tonight and I looked up there and I remember a young kid who was scared out of his mind coming to a different part of the country, and y'all, for all of everything that I've put people here through, y'all have accepted me. I know to some I'm like the drunk uncle, even though I don't drink, or the outcast or whatever it is, or the bad guy. But in some measure, I feel like I've been accepted, and I really appreciate those that have spread the word for us and have just grasped what we're doing, and I truly mean that. So please spread the word for us if you get a chance. Christian, any final thoughts for us here on the way out tonight on our Smartway Dalton Behring and Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction? You've been terrific, man.
I don't think so, Tony. It's hard to believe only 3 weeks. You know, they got a couple more practices in camp before they kind of break off the start of classes on Wednesday. They get a couple of days off there, and then they'll start preparation for Bowling Green here in about a week or so.
Yep, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, the line in that Bowling Green game is 3.5 touchdowns. Yeah, 3.5 touchdowns.
24.5, something like that.
You know, I don't know how to feel about that game, so I think Tennessee's going to play that thing kind of vanilla and down the middle. I'd be inclined to take that.
I'd take Tennessee if at that line.
Would you really? So you think they're going to put it on them? You think Tennessee's going to put it on them?
Bowling Green, I think it kind of plays in Tennessee's hands. Bowling Green has struggled defensively. So I think Tennessee will struggle more with a team that has a very good defense. I don't think Bowling Green will be able to do much against this defense. At least the only thing that would worry me is they get up, 28-31 and Bowling Green sneaks one in late on a
second. Yeah, that's why those lines, that's why college football is so difficult to bet. I've got a couple friends who are gamblers and I have one that does it professionally and I sat with him for a football season and I thought to myself, I could not do that. I don't have the stomach for that. There's just no way I could do
that's
that.
That's tough because of stuff like that.
He had so many what they call bad beats in just games that were just over, that teams just scored 10 or 14 meaningless points and you're sitting there going, I mean, I saw him one time. He had a game for a couple $1,000 and his team came out of nowhere and scored 10 garbage points and the game was already over. And I'm going, how do you do that? He was already counting his money. I'm going, get me out of here. But,
early season games, those lines are not something I'd like to touch.
No, here's what I think though. Tennessee will be, I think, semi-vanilla in that opener down in Nashville. They are going to put it all on the line for that Oklahoma game.
With Checker Kneeling, the...
Checker it. It's going to be unbelievable. There is so much great stuff happening that week that our fans will have an opportunity to take part in, whether it's Jim Ross coming to town on Thursday night, Marcus Dupree Thursday night as well, over at Calhoun's on the River. There'll be some other things going on in town that week as well. That's going to be a really special week here in Rocky Top. Hey, it was really great and terrific. And thanks, Chris. Good talking to you.
All right, thanks, Tony.
Christian Lundy did an incredible job tonight. And again, for all those behind the scenes, I want to say thank you. It was really terrific. And I'm sorry for getting kind of sappy on you there. The guy that from Nashville who called was talking about leaving his son there. It was so odd seeing those people tonight, and you just kind of look back in your life, and I don't know if you've ever done that, but you look at something and you go, God, that was me. And what a weird, it's kind of weird. I don't know about you. I've had a chance to go back to my old high school a couple times, enough to know that I don't want to do that, that it's kind of creepy. But, because I always feel like they're going to tell me that I didn't pass or whatever it was. I don't do things like that real well. But I appreciate you putting up with me tonight. And I just want to say to you one more time this evening, Rocky Top. And I want to thank you for participating this evening. I want to thank you for listening. I'm going to get you to some regularly scheduled programming like this great show from Jerry Jeff Walker, ladies and gentlemen, 95 down in Austin. Because Buckaroos, here we go again.
Look forward Saturdays, me and my grandpa get away. We'd hop in the pickup truck, just go to town. We had a couple chores that we had to do. It didn't take long before we were through. Then we let the pickup truck just wander around. Make a run to the candy dump. Always wave when we see someone. Grandpa make up a song as we roll. Then we check out the mail. And never take the same road twice on the way back home. Spent a few years out running free. Spent two or three in New York City. Then moved back to Texas, tired, hell, and had enough. I go to Luke and Buck on Saturdays. Oh, Hondo had a way to brighten. It always made me laugh when we rode in his pickup truck. Make a run to the county dump. They always wave when we see someone. I know it'd make me up a tail as we roll along. To the post office without fail. Get to you, then we check out the mail. We never take the same road twice on the way.